You're gonna love this segue. How many are excited about the upcoming election? Like I said, you're gonna love this. I don't see hands shooting up yet. How many can't wait for the election to be over? There are a few more hands. How many are very concerned, not only with the election, but just the direction in general that our nation is headed? Yeah, every one of us. Yeah. How many wish I wouldn't even bring up the subject of? Yeah. Well, I am going somewhere this morning. It is, though, it's easy to despair. It's easy to give up hope. It's easy to lose heart, and it's easy to criticize. I want to declare this morning, by the Spirit of God, God help me to make this declaration, that this is not the time to despair. This is not the time to give up. It's not the time to lose heart. I want to declare that it's the time instead to cry out to God. And it's the time to stand in the gap. There's a big gap, isn't there? This is the time to intercede for our nation and to call upon God, to petition our God. This is the time for us as believers to hear the word of the Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit. I just, again, without going through each of the songs, I just feel like the worship song is a perfect setup to what I believe the Lord wants to say, because it's time to heed His command to ask, to keep on asking, to seek, to keep on seeking, to knock, and to keep on knocking. Can I remind you of how great and powerful our God is? I think sometimes we need to be reminded just how great and how powerful our God is, even in the face of stuff. Maybe especially in the face of stuff. Can I remind you of how God used Moses in the Exodus? Can I remind you how God used David in facing Goliath? Can I remind you of how God used Esther to reverse an impending Holocaust? Just Esther, just the single act that she did, the single act that David did. Can I remind you of how God used Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego? Can I remind you of how, I should say it this way, can I also remind you of how relentless our enemy is? Maybe I don't need to remind, but I think sometimes we need to remember that, especially as we're discovering, going through the Armor of God video series, that our enemy is absolutely relentless. And even though we can't see him and aren't aware always, we sure see the effect that his MO to constantly be attempting to steal and to kill and to destroy, it is constant. Can I lead you in a prayer right now? This would not only be just a prayer for the upcoming message that I want to share, but can I lead you in a prayer for our nation? Would you stand with me? And I want to, it's not that I haven't read this prayer before or prayed this prayer, but this prayer comes right out of the pages of Scripture. This is a prayer that Daniel prayed, and it just, you know, see if it doesn't just ring true for where we are and what we need God to do today. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant of love with all who love Him and obey His commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from Your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah, and the people of Jerusalem, and all Israel. In fact, we could easily insert there the people of Oregon, the people of Philomath, and all America, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings and our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Thank you, Lord, for that. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept his laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sin and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away from your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Last paragraph. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servants. For your sake, O God, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your great name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. In Jesus' name, amen. You should go ahead and be seated. Now, I don't know that prayer took 5 minutes. It may have seemed a lot longer, standing and all, but a very powerful prayer. And I love especially the fact that it's reminding God it's not the basis of our righteousness or that we ever deserve any of this. It's because and only because of your mercy and your love for us. His righteousness, not ours. So I want to jump into our continuing study of the Sermon on the Mount. And I've already spoken of the text. As you can imagine, it's Jesus saying, on the heels of not judging, but responding, or the next line is to ask. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." For everyone who asks, receives. For everyone who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. This is Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount. I want to just use for a moment Luke's account of this section, because as we know, the Gospels, in some cases, all four Gospels will relay the same message, sometimes only a couple of them, and in some cases, only one of them. But for example, John, most of John begins beginning the night of his betrayal, probably half of it, maybe even more than half. And so when it starts there in, I think, John 11 with the Palm Sunday and the entrance into Jerusalem, and then the next couple of chapters, just chapter 13 is when it starts with he's serving, and then anyhow, just he spends a great deal of time recording that specific night. But Luke, when he gives his account of this message, he prefaces this asking and seeking and knocking with this you may find familiar story. He says, uses this illustration to convey this powerful message. He says, suppose you have a friend, you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves. You have a friend, and you go to him at midnight, this is after he's already gone to bed, and say, lend me 3 loaves. A friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose, Jesus goes on to say, the one inside answers and says, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Not because you have the right to ask him, but because you're continuing to bang in the middle of the night, please give me the bread for my friends that have come into town. It just kind of reminds me, I just kind of feel like I want to take advantage of this illustration, and maybe I'm looking for a volunteer. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and Karen and I have a gift to give my mother, but I'm going to be unable to go down to Grants Pass and give that gift to her. So I was thinking maybe I could get someone to volunteer to go down and give that to her. I see Dan's hand raised in the back there. But I need you, she's got some plans that day. I need you to be down there by 7 in the morning. So you need to leave probably about 3 in the morning. And then also, I need you to be back here because we don't have anybody else to run sound. So I'm just counting on you to do that for me. Would you, Dan? That's Dan. But you kind of get the idea. And it's not just, gosh, I'm really, really hoping. I really hate to ask. It's this bold, brash, just almost presumption, to just not even hesitate to ask. And so that's what this, you might call it chutzpah. It's just that shameless boldness that just says without any compunction, asking. And that's what Jesus is trying to convey. In fact, he's, I believe, attempting to communicate two things, at least two things. Number one, prayer is a most powerful resource at our disposal. Yes? A most powerful resource at our disposal. I mean, and literally, when I say at our disposal, I mean, this is just right there. Just you don't have to go looking for a hammer it's right there. And then secondly, that Jesus is attempting to communicate that we can and should call upon God anytime about any need, and not only without hesitation or reservation, but with a boldness, a confidence, an assurance, a faith is what we're talking about, a faith to come to Him, call upon Him, seek His face, knock on the door of heaven, not so much trying to convey, it's about trying to get God's attention or weary Him to death, you know, wearing Him down, all, you know, like we've done. Well, you probably haven't done this, but I can remember multiple times with my own folks, you know, begging and pleading until, anyhow, but it's more about giving us insight into that which opposes the kingdom of God, I believe. In other words, it's not like we have to keep asking just to kind of, as I just said, to get God's attention or to wear Him down, but rather to understand that there is a clashing of kingdoms that is in constant opposition with each other, and that sometimes there is a persistence, if not often, there is a persistence that is required for breakthrough. Here's the picture that I just kind of like, if Bob, maybe I could use your assistance here. Let's just do it on the floor. And you maybe I'll see it. If you want to, you can stand and watch this incredible display of handiwork. Let's see, is this nail big enough? Actually, I'll just let you use these.
Isn't that a screw?
It is a screw.
But it, there's no head on.
Yeah, those are pretty. Yeah, so this, good luck with this. I was looking for a 16-penny nail, and what could I say? There's probably 15 places that I could have looked and didn't. But if I said, you know, Bob, I need these two boards to be connected. I'm giving you a nail that's hardly long enough to reach through the two before. But just, I'm going someplace with this, I believe. Could you just nail that, you know, drive that nail into those boards, both those nails, maybe? There you go. Yeah, they are. So they're hard, dry, seasoned. The nails may even bend. Oh, wait. How many times do you need to hit that thing? Yeah, and it's not even halfway in. Okay, now you got to start over. Okay, well, go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt. We don't need to nail. I just think that sometimes that's a very simple but an accurate illustration of what our prayers do. Sometimes, I mean, just the first ask, the second ask. It's not that we're trying to earn or get God's attention. As a breakthrough that needs to occur, and it only comes with persistence driving that prayer. Go ahead.
The first couple of hits I did, I'm getting a line. I'm not really driving at home until after I get a line.
Aligned with the will of God. Because that's, you know, that's the thing. This isn't just a formula to get what we want. This is a principle to get what God wants. And so we're asking in Jesus' name because we believe that this is what Jesus wants and desires. And so for using the example of praying for our nation, does God want our nation to be righteous? Does He want there to be a righteousness that is abounding? Absolutely. And so it's not with any doubt or any reservation or even hesitation. We're praying, but like Bob, you know, that's a very, very accurate picture of, as we begin to pray, Lord, align our prayers with Your Spirit so that our prayers are praying right to Your heart, which you desire, and that by us stepping forth and persisting, that there would be that breakthrough that would occur. And recognize then that there is a resistance. You know, there in fact, it's in that same chapter of Daniel. I think it's in response to this prayer. Don't might be the next chapter. Anyhow, it's right there that it took a while for Daniel's prayer for the answer to reach, because there was immediate resistance in the heavenlies. As I recall, it's like 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Chapter 10, thank you. And so there, it's just a very accurate picture of that. Sometimes if we don't get an immediate answer, just go, oh well, and give up, and realize that that was just the first tap, if you will. That's just the first beginning, and that some prayers, not all prayers, but some prayers require again and again and again, and asking and keep on asking, and a seeking and I keep on seeking, and a knocking and I keep on knocking. In fact, let me read to you out of this is what is referred to as an expanded translation. It's the New Testament expanded translation. And it says it this way: keep on asking for something to be given, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Keep on reverently knocking, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking for something to be given keeps on receiving. And he who keeps on seeking keeps on finding. And to him who keeps on reverently knocking, it shall be opened. And just to pause briefly, just that's the Greek tense that is used. That it's not a once and for all ask. It's an ask and keep on asking. It's a seek and keep on seeking. It's a knock and keep on knocking. Or who is there of you, a man, who, should his son ask for a loaf of bread, he will not give him a stone, will he? Or should he also ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? Therefore, as for you, in view of the fact that though being those who are evil, in view of the fact that being those who are evil, actively opposed to that which is good, you know how to be constantly giving good gifts to your children. How much more shall your Father who is in heaven, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him for them? Therefore, all things, whatever you may be desiring men to be doing to you, in the same manner also, as for you, you be doing to them. For this is the law and the prophets, which we recognize as a version of the Golden Rule. Oh, I'm going to do it. I need to tell you the story of Elisha and a woman that is not even named. Her name doesn't even appear, but she is referred to as the Shunammite woman. And the scripture records for us that account in 2 Kings 4. And it's the account, she's a well-to-do woman. And so with her husband's permission, they provided a room for Elisha to stay in when he was passing through. Whenever he's in town, he would know that there would be a place for him to stay and visit. And so Elisha is, I believe, prompted by the Holy Spirit to ask, you know, what can we do for you because of just your generosity and faithfulness? And she replies, unlike, I'm not aware of anyone in the scripture. She says, I have all that I need. I don't need nothing. I just, and he says, you know, can we talk to the king for you? Can we, you know, what can we do? And so he finds out, with his servant, finds out that, you know, one thing that she doesn't, even though her husband is later in years, the scripture says, he is aware that she doesn't have a son. And so he tells her, he just comes up and says, so I'm going to, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And lo and behold, by that time next year, she has a son. You know, continue now, fast forwarding a few years, the son's growing up, and one day he ends up dying. Just cut right to the chase. He dies, and his mom dies in his mom's lap. And his mom, let me just read some of this to you. This is the scripture says it so well. She called her husband and said, she didn't say anything about her son dying. She just said, send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God and quickly return. Why go to him today? It's not the moon, new moon or the Sabbath. That's all right, she says. In fact, the King James says, it shall be well. She saddled her donkey, said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out, came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she says to Gehazi. King James says, it is well. When, however, she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. And Gehazi comes over to push her away, but Elisha says, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask for a son, my Lord? She said. Didn't I tell you? Don't raise my hopes. And she had. Elisha says to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. Don't greet anyone you meet. If anyone greets you, don't answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother says, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and he followed her. Gehazi, in the meantime, gone ahead, laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound, no response. And he went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy is not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. And he went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. And then he got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy, I think I skipped a little bit here. No, it just basically said that Elisha turned away, walked back and forth in the room, and then got on his bed and stretched on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And when he did, she came in, and he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground, and then he took her son and went out. I mention that story just because I think it so clearly conveys the exact thing that we're talking about. I love her resolve. She didn't despair. She didn't almost to the point of not giving necessary information to her husband, you know, to the father. And I'm on a mission. I know what needs to be done, and I'm going to go and ask and seek and knock until my son is come back to life. And I guess what I want to say is I want to ask, I want to seek, I want to pursue, I want to knock with the same intensity, with the same confidence, with the same faith, the same audacity, if you will, as this Shunam woman. And I want to knock with the same perseverance and persistence that not only Elisha, because there was a very similar story. You're thinking, I thought that was Elijah. Well, it was Elijah. He had another, the widow. Anyhow, there's another similar, when he's asking his servant to seven times, he kept sending him out. And so there's just that picture of persistence. Even though you have a promise from God, a prophecy from God, the word from the Lord, as we have in this text, a promise, Jesus is repeating the promise. If just going back to the original text, ask, seek, knock, because, and so he gives the promise, repeats the promise, illustrates the promise, trying to hammer in the promise, if you will, the principle, the very thing that you and I need to do for the sake of the kingdom. For the sake of the kingdom. That's the kind of resolve. That's the kind of tenacity that I want to see God develop in my life. So I want to just some closing thoughts. Do not stress. Here it is again. You know, there's the knots. You know, do not stress when in need, when it appears that the bottom has fallen out. I mean, we've looked at an example. I mean, the woman's son. That's the bottom fallen out. Not just sick, he's dead. Our nation is not just sick. It's sick. Not dead. When that happens, ask of God. Do not despair when all seems hopeless. Seek his kingdom. That's what we're talking about. We're seeking his kingdom. We're not seeking our kingdom. We're not seeking our wants. We're seeking his kingdom. Yes? Do not allow silence or lack of visible answers to be our focus. Again, that the Shunammite woman, that wasn't her focus, her son being dead. Her focus was, I need to call upon God. I need to call upon God. Therefore, keep knocking. Ask of our Heavenly Father and expect to receive. Ask and expect to receive. Seek His face and expect to find. Seek, what was the last part of chapter 6? Seek first, what? The kingdom of God. And expect to find. Knock on the door of heaven. Knock on the door of heaven and expect breakthrough. Expect breakthrough, even though it doesn't happen overnight or immediately. I want to invite, most of you will know that this Thursday is has been set aside, you know, for years now as the first Thursday in May, being the National Day of Prayer. Also happens to be Cinco de Mayo, so there'll be a lot of preoccupation and focus on that for many. But I want to invite just a last minute invitation here. If you're available and so inclined, to join Karen and I at noon Thursday here in the sanctuary, just for a time of asking and seeking and knocking, and just calling upon God, setting aside a meal, and instead just calling upon. Now, this isn't going to fit for everybody's schedule, and you don't need to make any apology. It's just, if it's just Karen and I, we're gonna. And maybe it's something that you can do, you know, where you are or sometime throughout the day. But just hearing the voice of the Lord saying to His bride, to His church, calling up once again to ask and to seek and to knock and see if God doesn't use our prayers, our response, to make a difference. So Lord, we are so grateful for this resource that you've given us. And yet it's a resource, this thing called prayer, not to be taken lightly. It's also a great responsibility. Lord, you're not just suggesting. Lord, you're imploring, you're calling us to ask and to seek and to knock, to contend for what you want, and that we team with you to establish your kingdom, to reestablish your kingdom rule in and where around where we live. And so, Lord, we recognize that it's certainly nothing of our righteousness or of our good works or anything that we've earned or deserved, Lord. It's simply on the basis of your righteousness. And we pray in your name, Jesus, expecting you not to only hear but to answer. But you make it so very clear that you're depending upon us to partner with you and to actually grab hold of the hammer and drive the nail home, and knowing that you are the one that we're calling upon, you're the one that we're depending upon, and you are the one that brings the breakthrough. It's the name of Jesus that breaks every chain. And so we thank you for that, and we pray that you remind us of the fact that we have such a strong basis for the faith and confidence that you give us to do these things. Lord, just for the things that aren't just of national concern, just the things that concern us in our lives, whether it's with relationships, Lord, whether it's with finances, whether it's with our kids, Lord, whether it's just other concerns, other needs of healing and health for either our friends or ourselves, Lord, we ask that you would, in the name of Jesus, bring breakthrough in those areas. And Lord, that we would be faithful and persistent to depend upon you and to look to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand. And I want to remind you, I know that we want to pray for Tim this morning, but if there's anyone else that would just like prayer, that there will be people in front to pray with you and to call upon this powerful name of Jesus to not only meet every need, not only to break every chain, but to allow him to have and accomplish what he desires. So may the word of the Lord encourage us and strengthen us and compel us to follow his lead. In Jesus' name, amen.